John chapter 15. And we'll start there, and we're going to use our Bibles quite a bit tonight. Let's all stand tonight for the reading of God's Word, John chapter 15, verse number 1. Now this is a wonderful portion of Scripture. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. That's going to take us a while to get there before you'll understand the title of tonight's message, but I want to preach on this subject, the sin of false advertisement, the sin of false advertisement. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would meet with us tonight. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, it can do what needs to be done. And so, Lord, we want to just preach your word, kind of get out of the way and let your word do the work tonight. Lord, we thank you for another week to be able to serve you. We thank you for this good gathering of people. We want to pray, Lord, for the tremendous groups we have out in the gym, now busy about Master's Club, both primary and junior. Give them a great time out there, Lord, and I pray that it would go well. And Lord, we love you. We want to be helped tonight. We need your word. We ask, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit about fruit bearing. Fruit bearing. It's important that we as Christians bear fruit. I've got a next door neighbor that called me last year. And I'm going to have to get to the illustration quick because I'm losing my leaf. He told me this would happen, my next door neighbor. I went this afternoon and picked that leaf from the backyard of my next door neighbor. And I'll tell you what kind of leaf it is in a few minutes. But he told me, he said, how soon are you going to use it? And I said, it was about 3 o'clock. It was about 5 till 3 when we pulled it off the tree. And I said, in about 3 hours, he said, it's going to be pretty wilted by then. And I thought, 3 hours? And he was right. He said, you might stick it in a cup of water. It might help a little. You know, it may have. It's hard telling what it would look like if it went in the water. But I've never seen a tree quite like this. I'll be surprised that very many of you have seen a tree quite like this. We'll get to that in just a minute. Christians are supposed to bear fruit. John chapter 15, boy, this is a whole sermon in itself, the first 8 verses. It talks about our responsibility to bear fruit. And let me just go through this and kind of quickly read and comment, and we'll use that as our introduction. Jesus likens himself unto a vine, and he likens the Father unto a husbandman, or a vineyard keeper, if you will. Now, you got that? Because if you don't understand verse 1, that little short verse, everything else after this isn't going to make a whole lot of sense. Jesus said, I'm going to liken myself unto a vine, and I'm going to liken the Father as the husbandman, or the man that is responsible to tend to the vineyard. Now, having laid those premises, he then begins in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, let's go ahead and identify who that is. Jesus is the vine. The Father is the husbandman, and he's going to liken us as Christians to branches. Is that correct so far? Those of you that know and read and study the Bible, are we okay? All right. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, folks, this may just be a shock to a lot of Christians. But some Christians, I'm afraid, are convinced that the only reason God saved us was because he didn't have anything else to do and he just wanted somebody to take care of. And so he saved us so that he could spend the rest of his life pampering us and primping us and purdying us and petting us. But you know, let me just give you a little reality check. You know one of the main reasons that God saved you? So that you would have an effect to see other people come to Christ. So that you would bear fruit. And by the way, this is pretty amazing, pretty strong language. Because if you're a Christian, I mean, you're really a Christian. You're just not professed, but you're really a Christian. And you do not bear fruit. The Bible says that the husbandman, the father, he looks down, and if he sees that there is a branch that's not bearing fruit, he will take it away. And that's pretty drastic. But you know, the honest truth is, I do the same thing. I go to my garden after it's been planted for some time and the corn is at a certain height. And you know what? I discern which one of those stalks of corn are stunted and are never going to grow to the point where they produce an ear of corn. And you know what? They cumber the ground. They steal nutrients. They steal moisture. And I go through and I weed out the ones that aren't going to bear fruit so that the ones that bear fruit aren't stunted. You say, well, Pastor Jared, this is just blowing my whole idea out of the water. I thought God just saved me because he could spend the rest of his life. And no, you know what, folks? He saved us to enlist us. There's a job to do. There's a job to do. And so God is the husbandman, and he looks down, and we are the branches, and Jesus is in the vine. We're all supposed to be abiding in him. If we abide in him, and we're not bearing the fruit, then he'll take away. If we bear fruit, by the way, this is interesting too. Even if you bear fruit, God's the husband, it's the Father. God the Father is responsible to purge us, to cut us back from time to time so that we can bear more fruit. And again, I think about Cheryl's rose bushes. She's got a little place that we put over in the corner of the front yard, and we planted these big rose bushes, and they're just beautiful. And what happens is early spring, they kind of bush out almost extreme. They start putting on the roses, these little small roses, and they're just beautiful. They just absolutely take over that whole corner of the yard. But you know what? After that first explosive bloom, and then those kind of start dying away, you know what? You won't get any more roses unless you go out there and prune back all of those. And then you know what? The minute you do that, within a few weeks, you'll get another bursting forth of flowering. And you know what? The honest truth is, folks, God does the same thing to us. If you're going through a difficulty and you're going through a trial, you say, Brother Jerry, it's not because I'm not producing fruit. I mean, I'm really the best of my ability. I mean, I look around and I think God's used me. Well, listen, it doesn't. He's not bringing those hard things in your life to discourage you or destroy you. He's bringing these hard things in your life because we all need to be cut back some so that we can then be in a better position to bear more fruit. Are you understanding? Okay, and so that's the job of the husbandman. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vines, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now let me help you with something. Well, there's some crazy things being taught out there, but folks, let me tell you something. You can't win one soul to Christ by yourself. You will never see one person come to Jesus Christ if you're out there doing it in your own power. No, you won't. No, you won't. No, you won't. You say, but I've taken the courses and I know the words. And let me tell you something. You will bear no fruit if you don't abide in Jesus Christ. It's because of Christ, because we're connected to Christ, that we are able to bear any fruit. Amen. All right. You say, well, how many did everybody see saved this week? Well, let me tell you something. Jesus saw them all saved. That's a good way to count it. Jesus saw them all saved, amen? Because everything always goes back to him because we cannot bear fruit of ourselves. Okay, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye cannot do nothing. Ye can do nothing. And again, reemphasize what we just talked. The more you abide in Christ, the more you're going to bear fruit. The more you're relying on Christ, the more you're going to bear fruit. The more you die to self and let him live through you, the more you're going to bear fruit. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast him into the fire, and they are burned. Now, the truth is, you take any branch. And I went out and put a deer stand up about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I went and trimmed some branches off so that I could have some shooting lanes, and I laid them down on the ground, hung a few up in the tree, and you know what? I went there last night, and every one of those branches that I trimmed off, the leaves on them are totally withered right now. You know why? They no longer abide in the tree. Well, I don't need to go to church. You go ahead and cut yourself off. You know what you're going to do? You're going to wither. I mean, I can do, no, you can't do it on your own power. You stay close to Christ. You stay in your Bible. You stay on your knees, folks. Listen to me. If you want to bear fruit, then you've got to abide in Christ, and he's got to abide in you. Okay? And then it goes on to say, verse 10, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. It's the job of a disciple, the job of a Christian to bear much fruit. Why? So that we can stand up and say, look how much fruit we bore? No. Herein is my Father glorified. Herein is my Father glorified. You know, if you want to cut off the flow of God's blessing, you begin to start taking credit for what God's doing. Listen, if God's doing anything through you, you be of a humble heart. You thank God. Every time somebody mentions it to you, you point straight to heaven and say, listen to me, I'm not doing anything. Christ is doing everything. And let me tell you something, that'll keep you in good stead to be a fruit bearer. Because the minute you start wanting to take a little bit of the limelight and get a little bit of the glory, I can guarantee you, your production's going to go down. Amen? Now, number one, Christians are supposed to bear fruit. All right? Now, number two. It's kind of a build-up to the main point, the main one point of the message tonight, okay? Number two. There are two kinds of fruit that I think Christians are supposed to bear, and I want to go take you to two different portions of Scripture. Galatians chapter 5, let's go there. This is kind of humorous to me, and I don't know how much of you are aware of some of the things that are preached across the country and some of the trends and all of this that happen even within fundamentalism, but... Let me try to share something with you. Let me try to strike a balance, a scripturally accurate balance on this matter of fruit bearing. There are two kinds of fruit that you're supposed to bear as a Christian. I'm going to have you go to Galatians chapter number 5, and then once you found that, would you go to Proverbs chapter number 11? Galatians 5 and Proverbs chapter number 11. Now we're going to take a little bit of time here tonight. Stay with me. Slap yourself if you're a little tired. Stay awake, stay focused, because we got to take some time to lay some groundwork, scriptural groundwork. We're going to get to the message. But boy, this is important that we make sure what we're saying is biblically accurate. We go see the scriptures ourselves. It's good for us. There are two thoughts on this bearing of fruit. Many Christians, many people want to take John chapter 15 and say, well, the fruit that we're supposed to bear are the fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22 and 23. Then there's those that says, no, that is not the fruit that is talking about in John chapter 15. It's talking about souls. It's talking about winning people to Christ. It's talking about bearing fruit, reproducing ourselves. Can I share something with you? It's talking about both of them. All right? Scripture has one interpretation, but many applications. All right? It's talking about both of them. And you know what? The honest truth is, if we abide in Christ, two things are going to happen, folks. We are going to start bearing the fruit of Christian character, and then we are going to bear the fruit of Christian outreach. And what happens is a lot of people want to jump clear on this side of it over here and say, no, that's just talking about Christian character. It's just talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't talk about anything about sowing. The people that are saying that usually are not soul winning. And what they want to say is, boy, I'm abiding in Christ, he's abiding in me. Why? Oh, because look at my life. There's love, there's peace, there's long-suffering, there's gentleness, there's goodness, there's faith, meekness, temperance. Against us, such there's no law. The fruits of the Spirit are there. You can tell I'm abiding in Christ. Look at me. Look at the Christian character I have. Well, that's fine. But you know what? If you're not winning by to Christ, you sure look pretty, but you're sure not helping populate heaven. You may be the nicest person in the world, but if you aren't bold enough to open your Bible or share a gospel tract, you're not doing much good for heaven. But can I say something on the flip side? There's a whole camp over here that wants to say, you know what, bearing the fruit, that's only talking about souls, that's only talking about souls. And if you don't careful, you watch that crowd, this extreme over here, and that's all they ever preach. And by the way, that's the main focus. I'm not preaching against that. That's the main thing. But you know what? The Bible's full of a lot of other things besides soul winning. And just because you're a soul winner and you go soul winning and you win souls doesn't give you a right not to love. Doesn't give you a right not to have peace. I mean, people ought to look. Listen, I think that this happens inside us and outside us. Christian character is a fruit of the Spirit. You abide in Christ, folks. The fruit of the Spirit will be there. You'll experience love. You'll experience joy. You'll experience peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And you know what? That should be the characteristics of a soul winner. And you're going to find out that you'll win a lot more people to Christ if you have these characteristics. You know, I'm sorry, but I've got to say this. Some people use soul winning or the number of souls they win as an excuse for breaking every other thing in the Bible. But the honest truth is, you can win other people to Christ all you want to, or say all you want to, but there's a lot more that you're supposed to be doing and supposed to be producing besides that. And you know what? If you're a soul winner, but you're mean to your wife. If you're a soul winner, but you're a grouch around God's people. If you're a soul winner, but you can't maintain peace in the church, you're always in a spat with somebody. You know, after a while, folks, I'm sorry. But the fruit of the Spirit is inward, and it's also outward. It's both of them. The fruit of the Spirit that's been talked about in John chapter 15 is Christ living in him and dwelling in him and abiding in him. Because of that, all of his characteristics begin to be lived out in your life. But watch this. Also, his main passion is lived out in your life. And the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So I believe John chapter 15 is talking about the fruits of the Spirit, but I think it's also talking about what's mentioned in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30. If you'll jump over there, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Amen, 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 amen. Christians are supposed to bear fruit. That fruit is to be Christian character, Christ-likeness that's lived out through you as a result of being connected and abiding in Christ. Also to live out the passion of Jesus Christ by going out and reaching souls and producing visible fruit. Souls added into the kingdom of heaven. Christians are supposed to bear fruit. There are two kinds of fruit, Christian character and Christian outreach. Now watch this, because here's where we're going. Go to Matthew chapter number 21. And this is a story, the main story I wanted to get to. I did a little Bible study this week on the fig tree. And all of the New Testament has to say about, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John has to say about this matter of figs. Matthew chapter 21. Let's read the story and then we'll get into the main meat of the message here. Verse number 18. Matthew 21, verse number 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. This is talking about Jesus. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but the leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? That's pretty an astounding reaction. You know, Jesus sees the fig tree and he sees the leaves and he walks over and there's no fruit, there's no figs. And he says, he's standing there, and I mean, how soon is the fig tree, he says, let no fruit grow on thee from henceforth forever. He spoke right to that tree. Can you see the disciples? You know, you're just looking for something. There's nothing to eat. Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. He turns around and walks off. We read in the other accounts that within a day, they walked by there, and the disciples saw that same tree, and it was completely withered away. And they were astounded at how quickly it withered away. And Jesus is going to teach us something here. Now, I'll be honest with you, I didn't really understand this until I got a telephone call last year about this time. And it was our next door neighbor, and David Lockard. And he called me on the phone and he said, Hey, you got some time the next couple days? I said, Sure. I lied to him. Sure, I've got some time. Yeah, what you need? And he said, I got something I got to show you. He said, Come on over sometime. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll stop in there this afternoon. I went over there and I met him and knocked on the door and he came out and said, Hey, I want to show you something. And he walked me to his backyard and he had special ordered a fig tree and planted it in his backyard. And he said, You know what that is? And I looked at him and I said, I have the faintest idea what that is. He said, That is a fig tree. And of course, for a preacher, this is kind of exciting. I mean, you know, you live in Indiana, you don't figure you're ever going to see a fig tree. I had no idea what a fig tree was, what a fig tree looked like. So I'm into this. The fig tree that was sitting in his backyard. And again, boy, I wish that this leaf was in the same beautiful, vibrant condition it was when I just walked in there and picked it. But a fig tree bears these big, gigantic, beautiful leaves. By the way, this leaf came off of a tree that was about this tall. And it has a pretty small body. The tree does, and several of them coming out of the same clump, and it has these big, beautiful, vibrant, they're going to look like this, vibrant leaves poking out just every so often from that tree. And I sit there and said, That is amazing. He said, Now look here, let me show you how this works. Now this is what's neat. Every single place. He wouldn't let me have any of his figs. I'm really kind of upset with him about this, but every place where there is a leaf attached to the and by the way, I love this concept. You're gonna love John chapter 15. Every place there is a branch or a leaf, and this could be called a leaf, it's almost a branch to be honest, is attached to the main stem. There is, at the same intersection, right there, coming right out the top, a round fig. Every single leaf, you look all the way from the top to the bottom. Now, the smaller leaves have some that's never going to grow to maturity. And the ones down at the bottom, the big base ones that have these big leaves, have some of them that are that big around. But drawing, coming right out of, by the way, if you look down close, you say, is it growing from this or is it growing from the stem? And the closer you look, the less you can decide. It's growing from both of them. It literally comes right out of the place where they meet together. And every one of those, as I walked up, I noticed these beautiful, vibrant leaves. And at every junction where they're hooked up to the main vine, there is a big, giant fig being produced. Now, this year, he said, boy, I called him this. I said, hey, you got your fig tree? You still got that? He said, yeah. And here's about 2:45. I got visitation at 3:30. I'm in there studying this. And I said, hey, I'm going to run home real quick, and I want to take a look at that tree again. I said, I'm going to preach on this thing tonight, and I want to look at it. He said, come on. So I drove over there, got over there about 5:03, and we walked to the backyard. He said, now, the fig tree didn't do as well as it did last year. And I thought this was kind of surprising. I said, why? Why do you think that's true? And he said, well, from what I've read and what I've listened to, he said, I think it's because we had too much rain. And, you know, that kind of made sense to me because, you know, you read about the fig tree in the Middle East, and it has to be the kind of tree that can survive. And he said, literally, when they raise these things in greenhouses, that they do best with a lot of heat and not a whole lot of moisture. And so I'm taking his word for that. But he said, we almost had too much. But now, it still had a fig at every leaf junction, but some of them weren't as big as the ones I seen last year. And so I'm looking at this, and I said, now, did you pick these? He said, oh, yeah. And I mean a tree about this. He said, I got, this is amazing, a little tree like this, about 2 or 3 little shoots. He said, I got 30 last year. He said, I got 30 figs off that tree that big last year. I said, that's incredible. I said, are you going to get any this year? He said, I'm going to get a handful, but I'm not going to get that many. It's just not looking as good. And I sat there, and as soon as I seen that, and I had just read, understand, I had just read everything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Jesus taught or had any contact with a fig tree. So I was on top of it. And I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm remembering this story where Jesus went and saw a tree, a fig tree from a distance. And you know what drew him to that fig tree was he looked at that fig tree, and the Bible says it had the leaves. It had these big, vibrant leaves coming off of it. Jesus went over there expecting that every place the leaf was connected to the vine, there should be fruit. And when he got there, he was somewhat astounded because there was no fruit, zero fruit. You know what that fig tree did? It committed a terrible sin, the sin of false advertisement. Boy, I just got excited about this truth. I thought, you know what, we got to be careful, folks, as Christians. Because I think that Jesus from a distance, the disciples from a distance, looked at that and said, boy, I'll tell you what, there's breakfast. Man, there's a good meal. I mean, if he got 30 off on one that tall, I'm thinking this is probably a lot bigger tree. And just how many did Jesus expect? I don't know. But I think he took him and his 12 disciples. They expected to be able to sit down there at the base of that fig tree and have a feast. And you know what? From a distance, it was advertising. Because you know what the advertisement on a fig tree is that there's fruit? One of these. And for every one of these you see, you expect to see some fruit. And yet when Jesus got over there, he looked at this thing, and here was all these big plush leaves saying, advertise, I'm a fig tree. And you know what? Where there's a leaf, there's a fruit. And yet when he got over there, there was all these leaves and no fruit. And boy, the Holy Spirit started pecking on my heart a little bit. He starts saying, you know what, if we're not careful, boy, we get all the outward trappings down pretty good. Well, we can look the part from a distance. People can look at us and say, I'll tell you what, if there's anybody that's a Christian in this community, it's that guy right there. If there's anybody in a Christian community, I'll tell you what, that person right there, boy, they're a Christian. They're not ashamed of being a Christian. They talk about being a Christian. And yet the honest truth is, if we're not careful, upon a close inspection, all we are is a bunch of leaves. And you know what Jesus' reaction to that was? Let there henceforth. Boy, in just a short amount of time, all those leaves that looked so good withered away. And folks, the honest truth is, I've been in the ministry long enough to see this, that you know what? I've seen Christians just flower and bloom, and boy, oh, they got all the outward trappings. But folks, the thing about it is, if they don't produce fruit before long, they start withering away. Now, we got to be careful, because when I thought about this fig tree, I thought about two things. Number one, I thought about us individually, because I think all Scripture ought to first of all be applied personally to each and every one of us. So I took this little truth that I'd learned and a little trip into my neighbor's backyard, and I thought to myself, Jerry, listen to me. It's good that you got your hair cut short, but you got to have fruit. It's good that you don't smoke and drink and chew, but but you got to have fruit. It's good that you carry your Bible around, but you got to have fruit. It's good that people in the community point and say, you know who that is, and that's the assistant pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But you got to have fruit. You see, I begin to look and say, listen, I've got to be careful that all this thing, this doesn't become leaves. And I said, Holy Spirit, don't let me get to the point where all it is leaves. I don't want to just be, I just don't want to be a plant that looks like a fig tree. I want to be a plant that produces figs. And so I think that that's got to be the heartbeat of every Christian. Number one, we need to take time to have a personal application. Number two, we need to take time to step back and maybe look, because I think not only does this apply to a church, I think it applies to a church. You know, all over this country, there's churches that ought to be arrested for false advertisement. I might turn you loose on that, Brother John. Just let you go get him, man. Now, wait a minute. They build a church, and they put a steeple. They build a building, they put a steeple on top. That steeple saying, we're church. Okay, they hire a pastor. That's telling you that they're church. They put a sign out on the highway, and it says such and such, such and such, and somewhere in there, church. Folks, all that is leaves. They print a bulletin. When you walk in, you get a bulletin handed to you, so you figure you're in a church. You know, you walk in there, and they sing church songs, so you figure you're in a church. They take an offering, so you know you're in a Baptist church. And they have specials, and they carry their Bibles, and they read their Bibles, and you say, well, I'm in a church. Surely this is a church. I mean, look at all the leaves. But folks, the honest truth is, there are so-called churches that week after week, after month after month, after year, they never see somebody walk down the aisle and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. The baptismal waters are never stirred. There's never anybody at the altar dealing with lost sinners. Let me tell you something, folks. We can have the prettiest building. We can have the nicest sign. We can run buses all over the place that has church written all over. We can print the fanciest bulletins. We can put our advertisements in the yellow pages. We can put our advertisements in the local newspapers. We can do everything we can and tell everybody church, church, church. But you know what? It's false advertisement if we're not producing fruit. And when Jesus comes to visit Blessed Hope Baptist Church, he's got a right not to just find leaves, but to find fruit. And by the way, I'm not against the leaves. I think you ought to grow leaves. If you're not going to grow leaves, you're not going to have fruit. If you know anything about photosynthesis, you don't have leaves, you're not going to have fruit. I'm not against the leaves. You know, some people say, oh, you know, all this outward stuff. Let me tell you something. You need to have the outward stuff. People ought to be able to look at you and say that person's a Christian. But it's not enough just to look like it. You got to produce fruit. Make sure that we're not guilty of the sin of false advertisement. Now, before I scare some of you, I want you to know this. Christ is patient in allowing us time to grow and to produce fruit. You say, oh, Pastor, this story makes me a little nervous. I mean, Jesus came over, checked one time, boom, withered, just cursed that tree and it withered away. Well, the honest truth is, I can take you to another parable if we had time to do it, where the Bible talks about a husbandman coming, and he talks to an owner coming, he talks to the husbandman about a certain plant. And he said, listen, that plant hasn't produced any fruit. Why don't you pull it up? Why cumbereth it the ground? And the husbandman himself said, listen, let's show patience here. Let's dig about it. Let's fertilize it. And let's give it a year. And in a year's time, if it's not producing fruit, we'll revisit. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Can I share something with you? God has done that in each and every one of our lives. Now, it's true. I mean, you ought to be glad God doesn't have an itchy trigger finger. He doesn't. Been times in my life where I wasn't producing fruit. And you know what? God could have and been just in doing so, saying, you know what? He's just cumbering the ground. Let's just take him on home. But God doesn't do that. A lot of times he digs it up. And can I be honest with you? Let me tell you something. If you feel like the earth's moving around you, maybe it's because God's trying to shake you up a little bit and get you to remember that there's a reason you're here. If God's shaking up your little world and fertilizing your little world, it's because he's trying to get some fruit out of you. And God is patient, and he is patient. Well, thank God he's patient with us. But let me tell you something. There comes a point in time where if the branch just won't bear fruit, you take it away. Listen, I don't expect three or four, third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders to walk around, you know, bringing people down the aisle. I mean, I'm glad every once in a while God does use children sometimes. But the honest truth is, it takes time to grow up Christians. It takes time to grow up soul winners. But listen, once you get to a certain age and you've been in the church and you've been saved for a certain amount of time and you've had a certain amount of preaching and training, it's time to start producing fruit. It's time to start producing fruit. Christ is patient. He'll allow us time to grow, but he wants fruit. He wants fruit. Now let me go to the last scripture we'll see tonight, Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 15. My last point is, number one, Christians are supposed to bear fruit. Number two, there are two kinds of fruit, Christian character and Christian outreach. Number three, a Christian who bears leaves but no fruit is guilty of false advertisement. Number four, Christ is patient, allowing us time to grow and produce fruit. Number five, this is our last point, the world needs to see genuine, real Christians. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 15. Beware of the false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their what? Folks, like it or not, everybody, here's the truth. Everybody produces fruit. Some kind of fruit you're producing. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Notice this. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of what? You know, you don't go to the briar patch and say, I'm going to go pick some figs. You go to the fig tree to pick the figs. This is deep, isn't it? You don't go to the briar patch to pick grapes. You go to the grapevine and you expect to find grapes. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Notice verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall what? Now folks, listen to me. I want to give you a little something I hope will educate you in your spiritual walk. Now listen to me. Let's get educated. Let's let the Word of God educate us a little bit. You know what? The Bible doesn't say there, by their leaves ye shall know them. It says what? Amen? Now, Brother Don, we've lived a long time. You longer than me. And we've seen a lot of the masters of facade. A lot of people that want to walk around talking the good talk. You know what this whole section is about? It says you better beware of false prophets. You better walk those that have the talk but don't produce the fruit. Now what I've done, and by the way, I don't set myself up as nothing. But I'm not a dummy either. And I got eyeballs. You know what? I'm not against the leaves. I'm not preaching against leaves tonight. Good night, the world needs to see something advertised. They ought to know from a distance that you're a Christian. The thing is, when they get up close to you, they ought to see some fruit. They ought to see some fruit. Now be careful. I think some of us spend so much of our energy producing leaves, we don't produce much fruit. It's true. So much of what it, we're trying to produce the things that cause people from a distance to think we're something. You know what? Who cares? You can't eat leaves. I'm not against them, but you can't eat them. The honest truth is, when somebody comes up and looks at a leaf, they ought to see where that branch connects, where that branch connects to the vine. They ought to see a fruit there. And if they got a hungry soul, they ought to be able to pick that and get nourishment. Folks, there's got to be something real. There's got to be something real. If there's one thing I've learned, I think God's just reinforced into my life in the last several months, over and over and over again as I'm going door to door visiting, is this. The world is fed up with fakes. Can I announce that to you? I've been out there. I've talked to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I've got a report to bring back from them. They are sick of fakes. They are turned off by fakes. They're so sick of the talk. They're so sick of the outward stuff. But when they come to you, there's no real nourishment. There's no real fruit. Both Christian character and the producing of other souls and the affecting of other souls for the kingdom of God. Now folks, listen to me. What's important in life? How big a tree we are? Is that important? Man, I got a neighbor that's got a little rascal just that big in his backyard. He pulled 30 figs off of it last year. I mean, you don't walk in the backyard and go, wow. You go, huh. Doesn't look like much, but it sure produces fruit. Who cares how big the tree is? No, you know what matters? Does it produce fruit? Does it matter how many leaves it has? Well, it does if all of them are producing fruit. But if they're not, man, have all you want. You sure look pretty. But there's a lot of people out there that's starving to death spiritually, and we got to have more than that. And so the lesson tonight is a simple one. This is it. Be very careful that you're not guilty of the sin of false advertisement. I want you to tell people you're a Christian. I'm not against you having a bumper sticker or a license plate. I think it's great when I see somebody that's got a Bible on the dash of their car. Or you pass out a tract. I'm just saying this. When people look real close, do they say love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance? Do they see the fruit? And if they're lost, do they have somebody say, hey, you know what? We've known each other for a while, and I think you probably know just by listening to me talk and watch me. You know that my family's church-going people. You know that we're Christian. But let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure that you're saved? Have you ever been born again? Don't be guilty of the sin of false advertisement. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, please. Lord, I thank you for this truth. Just a very simple truth. Something, Lord, that you taught me by listening to the scripture and reading and studying and then taking a little walk with my neighbor into his backyard. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to produce much fruit, because herein is our Father glorified. Lord, there's a lot of people out there that need Jesus. A lot of people need Jesus. And Lord, they don't need just a bunch of faraway plastic Christians to look at. They need somebody that's producing the real stuff. Help that to be us. Help that to be Blessed Hope Baptist Church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.